Well, glory. Has God been good to you? Are you glad to be a part of the kingdom? Is it true? Is it just a song or something old people used to say? But does it get sweeter as you go? Well, five of you think so. Yeah, I am going to press you a little bit tonight. I surely am. I'm going to come after you. Because what happens so often is when we have these sleepy summer services and we have a few folks out to camp, you kind of get the sleepies and you kind of relax a little bit. And I'm going to come after you about that. I'm going to make you run laps and do calisthenics and leap and dance and run and all that before we're done tonight. Praise the Lord, Julius. How are you tonight, Julius?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good. It's good to see you in the house. Julius is a great guy. Good to have him in the house. I feel revival in the house, what I feel. I feel a wonderful, abiding presence of God and just a great spiritual context for just anything to take place. For just anything to take place. Brother Ronnie, I dropped off the radio last Friday, and you started last Friday. What Saturday? What station are you on, and when are you there? WAYE, 11 o'clock Saturdays. The Reverend Ronnie Miller pontificating on the radio. What are you doing on there? What are you doing? You teaching a Bible study? Great. That's awesome. You did the rest in the covering. My goodness, coming at him from another direction. And we didn't even see that coming. Somebody just came up to Brother Ronnie and said, he called Brother Ronnie and said, I want you to spend some time on the radio, and I want to pay for it. And I just thought that was awesome. He's going to be teaching them the same Bible study they've heard since December. God does good work. Amos chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8. Brother Noe, do you have a plumb bob in your truck? Brother Mike, you got a plumb bob on you in your pocket? One of these craftsmen. Amos 7, verse 7. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people, and I will not again pass by them anymore. He said, I'm going to leave this as a sign and as a symbol to them, and I'm never coming by this way again. Goodness. Let's help. If you would, have a seat. If you love his word tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for his word forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We worship you, O God. We lift you up. We magnify you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Praise God. Brother Will, do you have a ladder on you? Well, now, see? There's a guy you can depend on. Just happens to have a ladder. A plumb line. How many of you know what a plumb line is? How many of you don't know what a plumb line is? Okay. A plumb line, you've probably seen one. It looks something like this. Just because we didn't have one, I just thought I would show you something that looks kind of like one. And it's used for a point of reference. You can just set it up right there, brother. Okay, what's your rate of comfort on ladders? You feel good about that? Okay, why don't you trot that up there for me? And then either side, just as still as you can. That thing on the top is not a step. There's a sign up there that says so. I always read it while I'm standing on it with one foot. This is not a step. Well, you won't be able to do it. The string's too fat. Just tie it around the top and we'll pretend. Okay? We're already off to a roaring start here. A plumb line. A plumb line is a line that has a heavy weighted object at the bottom, and it's so that you can reference a point vertically from a point that you have on the ground or on an object like a wall or a structure or something, and you want to build something up above that, you can reference a point from here as high as you want to go. Because gravity has its control over that thing, and no matter how high you go, it comes down on a perfectly straight line. Disregarding wind and jitters and other things. But that plumb bob gives you a reference point in a vertical relationship. And that's the relationship we have with God. As in the spirit, a plumb line is something that God uses in both Amos and in the book of Isaiah to talk about a reference point and building in terms of the things of God. Here he says, I saw God standing on a wall, and a wall that was built by a plumb line. And what he means by that is what Israel used to build, they used to build it right. They used to build it using the right parameters and the right references. And he stood on a wall that was straight and true. And he had a plumb line in his hand. And then he said, I'm going to hang this plumb line here among my people. And then I'm going to leave, and I'm not coming back by this way anymore. Now, this is a message to Israel. And Israel will never regroup as they once were. But now it's going to be about Judah. But all 12 tribes are represented, but they're represented in Judah because Israel never comes back from captivity. Judah does, and the 12 tribes are represented in Judah. And so then you have the fulfillment of the prophecy concerning David being the throne of the Christ and the throne of David never coming to an end. And Judah, the scepter, Brother Reggie, never being taken again from Judah. And that is really, really true and really awesome that you're not going to be my plumb line operator. Well, you don't really need an operator, do you? It just kind of hangs there, doesn't it? That's right. Thank you, Brother Will. You're a fine fella, and I appreciate you. Praise God. So this thing hanging in front of you here is a plumb line, and once it stops swinging, it's going to give you a straight and true point and corollary between that point that's on the floor there, if that was our chosen reference point, and the point in the air. And this ladder could be 100 feet tall, and the point upstairs would be just where the point is downstairs. Nice and true. And if we had another one, and we move the other one over here, all the way up the length of that string, those strings would be an equidistance apart, whether you were a foot off the ground or 5 feet off the ground or 12 feet off the ground. They would be perfectly in harmony together, running perfectly parallel, because the forces controlling that relationship, those forces are working on each of these devices. And if you lined up 10 of them across here together, they would all have the same relationship one with another. And they all would run exactly parallel with one another. And if you ran another string perpendicular to one of the strings, it would be perpendicular to all of the strings. And if it struck this one at a 90 degree angle, it would strike all of them at a 90 degree angle. And the angle at which it struck, no matter what it the angle at which it strikes any one of the 10 strings, it would strike the rest of those 10 strings, because they are all exactly the same, because the same forces and conditions and rules and laws apply, the principles apply to all of them. And God is teaching Israel, and God is teaching Judah, and God is teaching us. In Isaiah chapter 28, verses 16 and 17, God said, I will lay in Zion a stone, a perfect stone, a cornerstone. And he said, he that believes in that stone is never going to be confounded. Now, that stone or that cornerstone that we sing about and that we talk about is Jesus Christ. And in the following verse, in verse 17, he says, and I'm going to lay righteousness to the line and judgment to the plummet. He said, on that cornerstone, you can run a line. And I don't care if you run it a mile down, it's going to be exactly down the perfect face of that stone. And he says, that's going to be judgment and righteousness. I'm going to determine judgment and righteousness then off the things that I have established. And I don't care if you're a mile down the road or 10 miles down the road, a year down the road or 2,000 years down the road, it's still going to be judgment along the face of that stone. And he says, the plummet I'm also going to put on that stone. I don't care how high you go, how far you reach, how much you build. Whatever you build has to be built on that cornerstone, and its reference points are true and sure and perfect, and whatever you build has to be built on that stone. Righteousness and judgment are determined by the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, and the line and the plummet or the plumb bob are the indicators as to whether or not I can sit here and I can look down the fine face of that stone and I can tell, Stephen Collins, I can tell whether or not you're in line with him. Because I'm looking at two points. I'm looking at the first point of the... I'm giving you an eyeball right down the corner. And I can eyeball that thing just as clean as an arrow because I've got two perfect points there. And if you're out an inch down there, I can tell you by looking at that stone. Now, just hanging back and looking at you and feeling my way around or just giving you a ballpark view of it, I may be off. I may be off a country mile. And the problem with that is when you're off a little bit at the point of impact, you get 2,000 years away and you're ordaining homosexuals into the bishop's office. That's what this is all about. This is about God and about you and about me and about life and about families and about adherence to the rule and the law and the word of the living God. And he's already established it. And he's already established it. And he says, now here are the instruments. You run a line for horizontal relationships. And you run a line for vertical relationships. And you can tell if you are in concert, if you are in line, if you are in order, if you are square and plumb with that cornerstone. And you can tell all that from two simple lines. One a plumb bob for vertical viewing and one a line for horizontal shots. And you can tell if you're in line with this or not. And he is the cornerstone, and this is his expressed wish, his word, his desire, his expectation. This is it. It's the word of God. And so it's so very, very simple tonight. You just look at the word of God, and you take measurements based on the word of God. And when you and I come together, things strike us the same way. Everything, we're going to see everything the same way because we're standing exactly in the same place. Now, we may be in time or in distance, a little bit separated, but we are equidistant apart all the way up to God. All the way up to God. And when things come into our lives, you take a measurement on us, we're going to be the same. What's his name? His name is Jesus. How do you get the Holy Ghost? You talk in tongues. How do you live in this world? You walk in holiness and righteousness. Could you define those, please? Redefine them by the word of God. Well, praise God. So Amos 7, 7 and 8, they are about the fact that God is about to leave Israel because they are so far off. They are so far off, they can't be brought back in line again. Which raises the specter that these things are very, very important to God. And they would all come under the heading of something I would call alignment. You need to be in alignment with God. And you need to be in alignment with the Word of God. And if you ever walk or drive by a grove of fruit trees, it is amazing, especially if it's professionally done. It's amazing the perfect precision and the lines that are drawn through that thing, the symmetry and the order and the structure and the alignment that exists in that place, or a vineyard. And these are all types used by God to talk about His people and their relationship with His Word. If you look at a yoke and you think about the mechanical structure of a yoke, and think Jesus in Matthew 11 said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." We are yoked together with Him. That's a mechanical device, and in two mules yoked together have compounded their mechanical advantage. They have greater strength together than the sum of their individual strengths. It's amazing, Brother Kedrick. You and I yoked together can do more than you and I can do separately. We can pull more weight together than you and I can pull as individuals, because we have some mechanical advantage going on there between us. But if we are one of us one way and another way, or if we are, they would say, maybe in Alabama or Mississippi, crosswise of one another, or ogly-goglin of one another. They might even say that in Louisiana. If we're like that, we lose the advantage and we lose the mechanics. And so alignment is important in those images given in vineyards and in fruit trees and in yokes. And I saw at the picnic the other day. I don't even know who was doing it. Who was doing that that tug of war with all the kids? Was that the youth group, Molly? Brother Bart, Black Bart was doing the tug of war. Now the tug of war, I watched it from a distance, and they had tape across the rope so you could kind of see as it was spiraling one way or the other way. And the kids would get online and they would pull. But you tell me what would happen on one side if as they're standing there holding the ropes, instead of pulling in the same direction, some of them begin to pull this way, and some of them begin to pull this way, and they lost the advantage of all their strength and their harmony and their unity and all, because they were not in alignment with one another. They were pulling crookedly and pulling at odds with one another. They don't have the combined strength, and so there's a great sense of loss there. And this is true. You could do this all night long. Moving parts and wheels and rails and pistons and cylinders. And there's this symmetry involved. And when there's alignment, there's this beautiful mechanical advantage and this wonderful source of power and great potential. But when it's out of alignment, then you get all kinds of problems, and you run into friction, and you run into wear, and you run into drag, and you run into loss. And if it's enough, if it's off enough, you get a catastrophic failure. So if you're off a little bit, you get a little friction, and you get a little wear, and you get a little loss. And if as you graduate down, and you could build a scale on that, and you could demonstrate that the further out of alignment I get, the more I lose the power, and the more I lose the strength of it, and the more I lose the good of it. And that's in my home, and that's in my relationships, and that's in my family, and that's in my church family, and that's in my relationship with God. That's in my relationship with the Word of God. And alignment is nowhere more important than in our relationship with God. In Amos 7 and 7 and 8, they are out of line, and God says, I won't pass this way anymore. I'm just going to tell you tonight, when you're out of line with God, you lose the presence of God. I treasure what we feel in this place tonight. I treasure what moved in this house on Sunday night. I treasure what I know was in this house on Tuesday night. I treasure what I felt in the place and in the moving of His Spirit on Sunday morning. And I know was abiding in the Sunday school. It's the presence of God. But it's not like that everywhere. In somebody that's been somewhere where the presence of God is no longer there, please shout amen. And somebody that's glad that the presence of God is still visiting men, you shout amen. My God, I'm like David. I don't want to go anywhere where he's not, where his presence has gone away. If it's got Ichabod over the door, I don't want to be there. Whatever we have to do, whatever adjustments, how do I get in alignment? Because he told Israel, my presence is not coming back here anymore because I've given you a plumb bob as a signal and you're so far out of line, you can't have the presence of God anymore. Out of alignment will cost you the presence of God. It will cost you relationship with God. He said, I'm not coming back. We don't have a relationship anymore. We have a history. We have a past. And if you want to sing dead songs about old times and talk about how it used to be, you can do that if you want to. But in the current, in the present, in the right now, and He, by the way, is the I am. He's not the I was. I'm glad for what you had, and I'm glad for what He did. But you can't live there. We're in the right now and the right here, and He is the I am. And we need a healing, and we need a miracle, and we need the moving of God. And we need the Holy Ghost. And we need revival. My God, clap your hands unto Him and somebody shout just a little bit. I feel Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Whatever I have to do to be in alignment, I want to move. If I've got to change, I want to change. If I've got to move, I've got to move. If I've got something to lay on the altar, I want to lay it on the altar. Nothing sadder in all the world than people coming together with Bibles under their arms and dead songs and dead sermons and dust in the air without the presence of God. That's what he's telling Israel here. That's what happens when you walk out of alignment with God. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. A verse that you know, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you walk with God if you don't agree with God? God's going this way and you're going that way. And you say, oh yeah, God's with me. I know God. You go, I can take you to a barroom tonight. And we'll carry our Bibles so everybody know we're their own business. Could take you to a bar room tonight and we'll interview the people at the bar and they will tell you that they know God. And they will tell you that their mama was saved. And they will tell you that if things work out that they'll be saved. They say it. They think it. In their heart they know it's not true. But everybody conspires together and they all say, I'm okay and you're okay and we're okay. But how? The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be in alignment? I got to be in alignment with God to walk with God. If you're not walking in this word, you might be walking with some spirit, but you're not walking with God. Well, I know God's there because people get knocked down. Well, people get knocked down in the bar room. The only people that got slain in the spirit in the Bible was Ananias and Sapphira. And they didn't get up. And the ushers couldn't help them. I'm not, if you get knocked down at service, great. That happens in the presence of God. But this is the definitive. This is how you determine whether or not it's God. This is how you determine whether or not we're right. This is how you determine whether or not this is the way and whether or not we should walk it. It's the Word of God. And all you got to do is get out your line and your plumb bob. And let's take a look at our lives and let's see. Are we in line with the presence of God? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and Paul gives this litany of questions to the church at Corinth. And they're rhetorical questions because the answer is so obviously understood that he doesn't bother to give the answer. But as I read it, I want you to give me the answer tonight. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that's because you're pulling at odds. You're in a yoke with somebody that's going the other way. You're trying to go to heaven and they're trying to go to the world. You're trying to live for God and they're trying to live for Hollywood. And you're trying to keep your mind pure and they keep changing the channels to some ungodly Hollywood junk. You want to listen to Brother Riley on the radio and they want to listen to... I can't do that very well, but you get the general idea. I want to listen to the dulcet tones of Brother Ronnie Miller. You can't be yoked together with unbelievers. That means you can't hang with them. You can't fellowship with them. You can't love what they love. You can't go where they go. You can't marry them. And I would say you can't date them, but we don't date. That's an Egyptian practice. Okay, your questions. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believes with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will dwell in them, walk in them. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. They are not in alignment. They are out off the reservation. They are out of the projections of God, the expectations of God. They've got to come back in to get in alignment. You can't walk with them and walk with God. How can two walk together except they agree? You can't walk with Hollywood and walk with God. You can't walk with worldly music and walk with God. You can't walk with what the world loves and walk with God. You can't do it because God's not walking there. He set the plumb line and he said, I'm not coming by this way anymore. And he said, if you'll do these things and not touch the unclean thing, I'll receive you and be a father unto you. See, it's contingent. There's a contingency here that it's very, very clear. You can't just have God any old way. You can't just build stuff any old way. I lived in a house in downtown Baton Rouge that a one-armed carpenter built. I know he was one-armed. Every time we built an addition on this little building over here, it was an amazing series of discoveries. One of the first discoveries was there wasn't a brick tie in the whole building. It was a brick building. And they didn't tie it to the wall. It's amazing. God kept that little building standing. He's still keeping it standing because if he loved us, he would send a tornado. No, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's got it all in his hands. And we're just like Paul. We've asked him more than three times. And he said, my grace is sufficient. Praise God. Amos 7 and 9. Judgment comes when you're out of alignment with God. God is leaving Israel and they are judged because they are out of alignment. Isaiah 28, judgment, the whole end of that sequence there where he's teaching about the cornerstone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not make haste. That stone is placed in Zion. The plummet and the line are laid to the stone. And then he said, judgment will sweep away your refuge of lies. And your hiding places are going to be overwhelmed with the storm. And so the whole of that remaining part of that segment is about judgment. Judgment comes when you're in alignment with you're outside of alignment with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 1 through 5. John, can you follow me here? I know I'm going real fast and helter-skelter, and I never gave you a list or anything like that. But if you could follow me on this especially, it would be very, very helpful. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because most of them don't bring their Bibles anymore. And on the day when the electricity goes out or the projector goes out, then they're had. I can teach them anything I want, and they'll never know the difference because they don't have the Bible. 1 Corinthians 11, and now if I ask you what is this chapter about, don't answer. But if I ask you what is it about, it would tell a lot about your experience in God if you said, hair! Because it's not about hair. It's about authority. It's about alignment. And later on, it's about the Lord's Supper. And it's about being connected with authority and connected with the body. And hair is discussed here, but only in an ancillary sense. Okay, chapter 11, verse 1. And everyone say, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Do you see and understand that following positions you for leadership? Following qualifies you for leadership. And what does following indicate? It indicates alignment. It indicates the fact that Paul's got his eyes on Jesus, and Paul is following him, and Paul is walking in his steps, and whoever's coming behind Paul is doing the same thing to him. And that's been going on for 2,000 years. And that line is running from the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, for 2,000 years, and men and women are still living for God, talking in tongues, receiving the Holy Ghost, being baptized in Jesus' name, separating themselves from their world. Isn't that amazing? How do you do that? You do that by following Paul as he follows Christ. Following positions you for leading. Now, verse 2. Now, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. And everyone say, keep the ordinances. An ordinance is a law. Now, most of the Christian world is made up of either Catholics or Protestants. Catholics don't believe the ordinances of the Bible. They believe the ordinances of the Catholic Church. And Protestants don't believe there are any ordinances, because they say there is no law anymore. Because when you suggest something has to be done under the New Testament, they say, no, that's a work. That was under the law. And implicit in what they've just said is that there are no ordinances anymore. But Paul says, I want you to keep the ordinances. Where do we get the ordinances? From the Word of God. We get the law, we get the rule, we get the ordinance, we get the structure, we get the alignment, we get the symmetry, we get the construct for living for God out of the Word of God. And he says, I want you to keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Now, Paul said he came in late. He came in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. He was taught by Jesus in the wilderness of Arabia for 3 years. And then he went up to Jerusalem to compare his doctrine, his theology, with Peter's theology and James's theology. So Jesus gave Paul the ordinances. Now, Paul gives the ordinances to Corinth. And so there's a line that runs right down the smooth edge of the chief cornerstone, and it runs right through Paul, and it runs right through Corinth, and it runs right through whoever's handling the book and reading the book. It doesn't matter if you're 2,000 years away. You can look at this book, you can read these ordinances, and you can be assured that you are in line, whether vertically or horizontally, with the cornerstone, who is Christ Jesus. How can I know that I know? You line up with the Word of God. Have you ever heard the old timer say, you better line up, son? Well, I'm telling you, that's a biblical concept. You've got to line up. He said, I want you to keep the ordinances just like I delivered them to you. Verse 3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And so this then is a discussion of alignment and authority and everything that comes with that, whether it's giftedness or empowerment or vision or leading or instruction or anything that is measurable as an experience in the kingdom of God. All of those things are available by alignment, because they all come down from the fountainhead, who is God. The source of it all is God. And it runs from God through his earthly manifestation, which is the Christ. And then it runs in a home or in a family through the man. And then it runs to the woman. Now, before I have an insurrection on my hand, everybody say amen. Amen. Now, that's what the Word of God says. So that's true. Two of you think so, and they were both men. We're reading from the Word of God. Come on, folks. An amen goes right there. All right. Okay. So, it's God and Christ and Kenny and Deborah. It's God and Christ and the man and the wife. And then Danielle. Okay. Now, what's the obvious question there? Maybe not so obvious. The obvious question is, that may not be so obvious, is, but what if he is a heathen? And what if he's a manipulator? And what if he's a liar? And what if he's a flim-flam artist? And what if he's a womanizer? And what if... God, Christ, the man, the woman. What if he's all those things? Well, give me a specific. Because if he's all those things I just listed, and he gives you a mandate that is still in alignment with God, then it's yours to do or be. But when he begins to give you mandates that are out of alignment with God, you remaining under the canopy of God or in alignment with God, you are not subject to him in areas where it's just like the three Hebrew children. You boys are going to bow. You're going to bow. And they said, O king, live forever. But you're out of alignment. They said, Daniel, you can't pray today. And he said, you're out of alignment. And so they obeyed God. Now, they did it in good attitude and good spirit, and they were open to receive whatever judgment came with it. Don't look at me that way. You married him. So this is about alignment. As long as he is in alignment, he is the voice of God in that relationship. Boy, I'm not getting any amens at all on this, but we're reading from the Word of God, aren't we? We're reading from the Word. Does that diminish the woman? Does it diminish the woman? No, it doesn't diminish the woman. It empowers the woman. You are empowered in the kingdom of God if you know your place. Boy, that would get me kicked out of a women's lib meeting. My place. What is my place? I saw one put her boot heel on the door of a department store, thump her cigarette out. And I thought, that was pretty manly of you, lady. That was, and I don't think she had bat an eye to go a few rounds with you. I don't think she'd. I think she'd like it. Matter of fact, another notch in her belt. And that's the spirit of our day. But it's not the spirit of the Word of God. And the Word of God is very, very clear here. God, Christ, man, woman. Everybody say praise the Lord. It doesn't diminish anybody. We just know our places. I'm not getting any amens from back here. I need to get some amens. So, verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonors his head. Now, when we read this chapter, we discover that the covering here is the hair. And for the woman, her hair should be uncut. And for the man, his hair should be short. Because it says, if a man prays with long hair, if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. And if a woman prays uncovered or with her hair cut, then it's a shame to her head. So we find here that if you're out of alignment, then you bring dishonor. The first thing you do is bring dishonor. You bring reproach when you're out of alignment. You bring reproach to your own life. You bring reproach to the relationship. You bring dishonor to the household and the family, and you bring dishonor to God. Okay? And remember, we're talking about authority, but the symbol of authority in this passage is hair. Now, and we're not teaching on hair here, so I'm not taking it verse by verse and doing it expositionally here. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, and if her covering is her hair, how do you un your hair? Uncovers, dishonors her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. And so you see very clearly that the discussion is about hair. He said, if you un it a little bit, it's the same as if you shave it. So while we're on it, young ladies, you keep your split ends, and they are a testimony. And when you go to get your hair fixed, what's the first thing they want to do? Oh, they want to trim it. They want to cut it. And it, please, at least let me cut off all these old dead ends. No, no, no. You see, that's my testimony. Because the Word of God spoke to my heart. And I came and I got in alignment with God. I got right under the spout where the authority of God comes down. And Hollywood doesn't like it. And the world doesn't like it. But I'm standing where the power of God comes down. And I would rather be in the power of God than in the favor of man. I'd rather be in the favor of God than anything the world has to offer. Somebody say praise God. Alignment. There is power in alignment. I want to show you that. Verse 10. Everybody say, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Now remember, we're talking about authority in relationship. The hair is there, but it's just an ancillary discussion about hair. First, she ought to have power on her head. That means she ought to have either her dad or her husband, or in some bizarre case, an elder brother, somebody as the man in her life. Now, I'm not getting any amens here, but I need to have every woman in the house say amen. You don't know like I know what he's done to me. Makes me want to shout, fight all night. I just told you, you still maintain your relationship with God. And when he's out of alignment with God, you keep your face locked in on God's position. And you don't have to follow after him if he's not in alignment with God. If he wants you, you go down to the pool hall, you say, honey, God doesn't go to the pool hall. If he wants you to go play craps at the casino, you don't go there because God doesn't go down there. God's not going to, God won't be at the roulette wheel. Oh, look, we landed in Las Vegas at the airport. And it's not in a casino. It's in the airport. Look, I've got some change. Oh, it'd be fun. Let's just. God doesn't play with one-armed bandits. God doesn't. God doesn't do that because the Bible says don't let your good be evil spoken of. You sit down and you play that stupid game and somebody sees you and wrecks your testimony the next time you stand and testify and they say, I saw him gambling in Las Vegas. Hard. It takes a lifetime to build a testimony and about 5 minutes to tear it all to shreds. Either a father or a husband or an elder brother over your life, or a pastor if you don't have anybody else. But the Bible says clearly here, you need to have a covering on your head. And it's not talking about, I don't need a man, I've got hair. It's not what this is talking about. I've got lots of hair. I don't need a man. Well, the hair is secondary. It's a symbol. It says, as you obey the word of God, the hair says, I am in obedience with the word of God, and I'm in obedience to my father or my husband or my pastor, and being in obedience to those men or that man, I am in alignment with God. That's what that long uncut hair says. The long uncut hair, the whole world looks at it and says, my God, what are you people doing? How do you do? Why are you doing that? Why do you do that? We do it because the word of God says so. And we are in alignment with God. Now you notice what it says. She ought to have power on her head. Now it means authority. Dunamis. Dynamite. Authority on her head. So when you get in alignment, that authority rests upon you, or that power rests upon you. You take that into your prayer room, and you take that into your engagement with life, and into your witness, and into your testimony. There's nothing more defeating in all the world than trying to serve God, and you've compromised your experience in God because you're out of alignment with your authority. So defeating and so without power. She ought to have power on her head because of what? Because of the angels. Because the Bible clearly tells you that the angels know about insurrection. The angels know about rebellion. Because that's how a third of the angels fell out of the heavens. And so when they see a woman with an attitude, when they see a woman that's not submitted, because lack of submission is what got Lucifer and a third of them kicked out of the heavens. She ought to have power on her head. We're just talking about what happens or what comes with alignment and what happens when you're out of alignment with God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, let's stand together. Give me some power music. Authority, alignment music. Why don't we gather down around the altar tonight? Can we do that? Would you gather with your family? If you don't have family, please adopt somebody. And don't walk under the ladder. Yeah, you better. I tell you, if somebody would help you, Brother Dan, you could move it here on the platform. With your families. If you're with your husband, ladies, tell him you're my authority in the house of God. If you're with your parents, children, tell them you're my authority in the house of God. I want to be in alignment with God. Come on down around this altar. You know what happens in a church when we're in alignment with the Word of God? I don't know if there's any such thing as perfect alignment. But I do know you can measure alignment first by the Word of God. But you can also measure it by the heat in that body caused by friction. The heat and the wear and the loss of potential and the loss of power because there's a constant drag because it's out of alignment. If we're not getting done what we need to be getting done, it may be that we're pulling at odds in the yoke. And we're not pulling in the right directions. But in a church or in a family where you get the harmony that comes from alignment, there is no, I mean, this is a well-oiled, by the Holy Ghost, a well-oiled machine, this family, this church family. And we become very effective in the kingdom of God, very productive in the kingdom of God. If we are God's vineyard, we are God's fruitful field. That means we're in alignment. I mean, everywhere you look in this house, we're in alignment. There's a straight row here and a straight row there. And it's not in the natural where we're standing right now, but it's doctrinally, and it's in prayer, and it's in faith, and it's in the concepts of the Word of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And consequently, we'll be fruitful. Consequently, we'll bring forth the good fruit of the kingdom. Praise God. In your home and in your family, if you're fighting like cats and dogs, I can just tell you, the first place you need to look is alignment. If you're needing the power of God in your house and in your family, the first place you need to look is alignment with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God. Somebody say, praise God. I want you to huddle up with your family right now. If it's an adopted altar family, or if it's your family, I want you to huddle up with them. I want you to begin to pray for one another right now. God, help us to walk in alignment with you. Help us to follow your ways, to know your ways, to please you, to be in obedience in all that you've called us to do. Pray a prayer. I want you to pray for one another now. If you're praying for your mom or your dad, you pray, God, help them to follow close after you. If you're praying for your husband or your wife, God, help my wife to follow. God, help my husband to follow after. Help us to be in alignment, oh God. To have wisdom to know your word. To have wisdom to follow straight on. Hallelujah. Turn not to the right nor to the left, but straight on into the things of God.
You're worthy, Father, we welcome you.
We love you.
You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy.
Hallelujah.
You're worthy,
hallelujah.
Father, we welcome you. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy.
Mighty God.
You're worthy, Father, we welcome you.
Praise God. Now, while they're singing a little bit, I want you to just tell your family there how much you love them and appreciate them. Okay, now here's your big chance. You get to sing to your family, your wife, your husband, your children.
You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you.
With words
from my mouth.
I love you.
I love you. I need you to survive.
I pray for you. You pray
for me. I love you. I need you.
With words of my mouth,
I love you. I need you to survive. I pray for you.
Well, praise God. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. What a good God. Are you glad to be a part of the church of the living God? Hallelujah. God bless you. So good to be in the house with you tonight. And God's just doing a rich and a wonderful work in his church. If you have someone at camp this week, I want to meet with you for just a second back in the back room so we can count heads and make sure that we know who we're going to pick up on Friday night and who's driving down. God bless you.